Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, are you out of your funk?
I'm getting there.
I can tell.
I'm not out of the woods yet.
I can tell. It's okay. It's okay to take a little bit.
Yeah.
It's okay to take a second, yeah. Especially when there's lots going on at home. There's lots going on at work. There's lots going on.
That's right.
There's just lots going on everywhere, man. There's a lot going on in the world. Okay. Good day. I'm going to tell you my good day. It was pretty recently. We went to a follow-up appointment at Daryl's heart surgeon, and we loved our surgeon. I cannot stress enough loving the team of people. If you're going to have a big surgery, love your team. Love the doctor.
Shop around if you have to.
Yes.
It's that important.
Yes, it's that important. Our surgeon was just amazing, and we went to his follow-up appointment, and we were seeing the nurse practitioner. And I asked the nurse practitioner, are we going to see Dr. Espinal today? And she said, no, it's just you see me on your follow-up appointment. But Dr. Espinal is here. He's in his office. I said, well, I would like to see him because I have something I want to say. And this is...
She's probably like, oh, hold your horses.
Okay, so he came in. And this, the reason I'm sharing this is because... I think it's important when you feel the nudge to say something that could feel awkward, it could feel vulnerable, it could feel clunky, it could make you cry, to listen to the nudge and to say it. So he came in the room and he sat down and he, you know, just was so encouraging. And I said, Dr. Espinal, I have something I want to say to you. And I want to tell you that it's going to feel awkward for a second. And it might come out a little clunky. And I said, and I might even cry. I said, but I feel like you need to hear it. And he's like, okay. And I said, you know, we don't know you. We've never even, this could make me cry again. I said, we have never even had a cup of coffee with you. And it is the weirdest feeling to hand one of your most favorite people over to someone who is basically a stranger for you to cut open and work on his heart.
Yeah.
And we hardly know you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you're saying what I say to my residents all the time. People entrust us. We spend maybe 15 minutes with someone and then they entrust us with their lives.
That's right.
And I said, but what I really want you to hear is after we had surgery, everyone that spoke about you and that heard that you did our surgery at the hospital, your whole ICU people, all the nurses, the physical therapists, the respiratory therapists, when they heard that you did Daryl's surgery, they had nothing but great things to say about you. So I want you to know that people talk so highly of you behind your back.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, thank you for saying that to me.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Because I do think that people need to hear that.
Totally.
And I told him, I said, one of the nurses who was an RN, shout out Josh at ICU.
Josh, if you are listening.
Josh's
mom's listening.
What a great nurse, Suma in Akron. And Josh said, oh, Dr. Espinal did your surgery. And I said, yeah, we really like him. He just is like his bedside manner is just so good. So we really like him. And Josh said, I'm not just saying this. And I told Dr. Espinal this. He said, I'm not just saying this, but if I would have that very thing done to my heart, that's the guy I'd want to do it.
That's awesome.
And he said, Dr. Espinal's the man. And Dr. Espinal got such a kick out of that. But I think sometimes we tell ourselves someone might be too important. Like he's a surgeon. He's a heart surgeon.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to hear stuff like that.
Well,
you don't know if he needs to that or not. And if you're being nudged to say it, like I was being nudged to say it.
Yeah.
And when she said he's not normally here at the office, but he's here today. I knew I was supposed to say it to him.
Yeah.
And one thing he said to me that I thought was really interesting, he said, you know, it is so important. He said, let me tell you, if they say that I'm great, I'm only great because all of them are great.
Yeah, that's true.
He said, that's why having a great team surround me is so important. He said, I have to come to work and I really can't afford to have bad days, especially on surgery days.
Right.
I have to bring my healthiest, best self to work because people's lives depend on it.
Right. Like, absolutely.
Wow. I mean, that is wild. But I thought that was interesting too. He said, yeah. No, I'm great because they're all great. And
yeah.
And I think, wow, what a great leader, you know, but my good day was going into that office, telling him that and getting such a good report on Daryl. Daryl's
awesome.
You know, has really recovered well. And I have to say, shout out to D, if you are listening.
He's not listening.
But the truth is, I really, really was worried that it was going to be kind of like an old people squabble, bicker fight. You know, I shouldn't say old people, but you know, when you've been married a long time, like, bicker, about him doing too much. I really thought that I would be put in those positions with him, like, no, you cannot. No, you don't. No,
right.
No. And I really haven't. He really hasn't. He actually said to me today, I've been good. I said, actually, you know what? You really have.
And
funny. I've really been impressed.
That's really
I
funny.
Think it's been hard.
Yeah.
I think it's been very hard for him. But I also think it's been very good for him.
Totally.
He said the other day, you're going to be like, what? He said the other day, I was complaining about the price of a red onion or a purple onion. And he said, you know, maybe we should have a garden this summer.
No.
And I couldn't believe it. And I said, well, listen, you'd be in charge of it. I'll help, but you'll be in charge. Kind of like the pigs. Like, you'll be in charge. And he goes, well, I know. He said, but maybe we should have a garden with a few things like that in it.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, well, that is awesome.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, yeah, and you know, I bring you a basket. I bring you a basket
don't
of
do
cucumbers and onions and tomatoes.
Don't do it. I'm just warning you. Don't do it. Don't do it.
No, it'd be literally he'd have to lead it.
Yeah. All right, here's my good day. My boys have been doing baseball. They're in, it's that, we're, do, we're doing,
so
we're just
fun.
Doing it.
It's so fun.
It's good.
It's a lot, I know, but it's so fun. When you line up your baseball chairs and you're cheering for them.
We're not there yet.
I know, but when you are, you're going to love it.
I know. I can't wait till you come and cheer.
Yes. And you're
going to love it.
I am going to come.
I am
because I know how fun it is. You bring blankets and you bring your little cooler. It's so fun.
We'll
and
get
the
there.
The snack stand is so fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
So my boys have been at baseball and it's, you know, Mallory has some friends that are baseball moms. So she has been taking the boys to baseball practice and sitting with some of her friends and talking.
It's
and
so good.
The whole thing. But that leaves me at home with Remy.
Okay.
And so, you know, Remy is at that age. She loves imagination.
Yeah, she looks like 14.
I know, but she is 5 years old, loving imagination play. She even told my mom recently, she has this way of talking that's really teenage girly that's so funny to me. She'll be like, well, Danny doesn't play Barbies very good. And I'm like, she's right. I am not good at playing Barbies.
She but calls your mom her butler sometimes.
I know,
did you know that?
But my mom has created the monster. Mom, I know you're listening. I'm not ringing the bell. That's on you, bro. But I was home alone with her for a couple hours while Mallory and the boys were at baseball practice. And she pulled out some, do you know what the calico critters are? They're like the little.
No, I'm very far out of that stage. Remember?
Well, these have been around for a while.
No,
they're like felty covered.
I have boys. Is this just a girl thing?
Probably.
Okay.
They're like felty covered little critters.
Okay.
And they wear clothes.
Are they
clothes
flat
are tiny.
Or are they stuck?
No, they're like hard plastic, but they're covered with like flock.
Sticky stuff. Okay.
So we played those and we played summer camp.
I'm really good at imagination.
Like, I'm so bad at this. But you know what? I powered through.
Okay.
I don't like being like, oh, let's pack up the clothes now. And now we're going to summer camp together. And then
love that.
Oh, come over. Where have you been all my life? But I tried it. I did it. And you know, we also watched Wicked together.
Oh.
She is in such a performance era.
Yeah. Oh, good. Like, good. Rami.
Girls are different. Girls. Oh, like,
yeah, they are. It's
she
true.
Is a
That's true.
Different breed because she different. Is very performative. She dances and whips her hair around. And, you know, it was just, she had my full attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was precious. Yes. And Remy, if you were listening, maybe you're 40 when you're listening to this. I'm trying to play all the things with you, even when it's not my favorite. And you know what I love more than Barbies is you.
Aww.
And so I will learn. I will learn. I'm trying. So that was my good day, is just playing Calico Critters and Barbies with Remy. I'm trying, Remy.
I love it.
Okay. Hey, before we jump into our topic, we're going to do one of our little segments.
Yes, I love this
segment. Oh, you know what we have to do? What? Leave room for music. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Okay. This is something random I need to share that might not make a difference to you at all.
Okay.
So this is something random I need to share that might not make a difference to you at all. If you know someone who's getting ready to have open heart surgery,
okay,
get them a heart pillow. You can just on Amazon Google heart surgery pillow. It is a stiff pillow. A lot of them are shaped as a heart. And it's like, I'm not going to say it's a memory foam pillow, but
Pillar. You sound like Madea.
A memory foam pillow, but it is kind of stiff. It is kind of memory foamish.
Yeah.
And after you've had surgery, even a mastectomy, I think, if you Google those, if you know somebody getting ready to have that surgery, you hold it against you. Like Daryl holds it against his scar
chest, yeah.
When he coughs, when he sneezes, when he gets up. Like, yeah. So for the first, at least for the first week and a half, he had that pillow by his side so often. And when he would get up, because you're not supposed to brace yourself or use your hands to push yourself up when you have open heart surgery, because they have, you know, they've cut through your chest bone.
Okay.
So they don't want you bracing or pushing off. So you really literally use your quads. You use your leg muscles and you kind of rock and stand up. Well, he would use that chest pillow to hold against his chest when he would stand up.
That's interesting.
So if you know somebody that's getting ready to have a big surgery.
So like any surgeries around your chest. Cavity.
Yes. To get, okay. Get a heart pillow. And, you know, MG, our future daughter in love, her parents, her stepdad had heart surgery, or bonus dad had heart surgery last year, and her mom sent us that heart pillow. And I want to tell you, Daryl has kept that heart pillow by his recliner
and by
the bed for, you know, since he's had surgery. It's really, really come in handy.
That is so random.
Yeah.
Is that your only thing? I thought you said you
had
two.
No, I had two, but you go and I'll give you then my next one.
Oh, because I have two too.
Okay, you go, then I'll go, then you
do
go.
I'm going to let you choose.
Okay.
Do you want my Worcester, Ohio one or my Disney one?
I want your Disney one first because the Worcester one's probably going to be my favorite, so I want that to be last.
How dare you? Okay, here's my Disney one. Okay. Our family's favorite ride is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
Have you ever been on this ride?
No.
Okay, it's wonderful. It's a flume ride. Do you know what flume means?
No.
It's a water drop ride. So it has a hill and it's in the water. Here's what you need to know about Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't know if anyone's listening to this is going to care, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Is Johnny Depp there?
Well, that's funny that you brought that up. You'll find out. Pirates of the Caribbean in Disneyland was the last ride that Walt Disney, or last attraction that Walt Disney worked on before he died. Did you know Walt Disney died of lung cancer?
Oh.
So, Walt, this is actually fascinating.
Okay.
You know, we know that Walt Disney died, it opened in 1967, so I'm going to say he died in the December of 1966. Disney made famous pointing with two fingers. Did you know this?
No.
So, the story is that's the most common story is when Disney directs you places, you might notice this on airlines too.
Oh.
They'll direct you, they'll put their index and their middle finger together, like they're making a number two that's squished together.
Okay.
And that's how they point to tell you where to go.
Okay.
That's because what we say is because in other cultures, pointing with one finger is actually disrespectful or might mean a bad word. What the Disney lore is that Walt Disney would often be working on his park with a cigarette in his between his two fingers. And the lore or the legend is that they would edit the cigarette out of his fingers. It was the 60s. People smoked. You love cigarettes.
Yeah.
So they would edit the...
I'm with you, Walt. I'm with you,
See,
Walt.
You and Walt have a lot in common.
We do.
Happiness and cigarettes. So they that people would edit the cigarette out of his fingers because he was marketing to children. Fascinating. So anyway, Pirates of the Caribbean is our family's favorite ride. And basically what it is it's a ride through like a village where pirates are overtaking and they're running them out of the town. It's so fun. So it opened in 1967 in Disneyland. They have video of him before he passed away. They would roll him around in an office chair. They built like a scale model that was up to his eye height when he was sitting in a chair, and they would roll him through the path so he could see what it would look like
awesome.
From a boat.
That's awesome.
So Walt passes away. Horrible, sad, last attraction he ever worked in. Then in 19, it was so popular. In 1971, Walt Disney World opens in Orlando, Florida. And the people planning that thought, Florida is saturated with pirate stuff. You know, if you ever go to the coast of Florida, there's so many, there's pirate dinner theaters,
shipwrecks,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And you know, pirates were actually in Florida, and like St. Augustine was a big pirate place. So they didn't include it. Well, there was public outcry because there were no pirates in Walt Disney World in Florida.
This is a very long random point.
I'm
but
sorry.
I'm into it. Go. Keep
I know
going.
You are. I can tell. So in 1973, 2 years later, they opened a replica attraction of the one in
They gave the people
Disneyland.
What they wanted.
They gave the people what they want. So fast forward, they make movies based on this ride, Pirates of the Caribbean with Johnny Depp.
Okay.
And then the people wanted to see, why isn't Johnny Depp in it? So now you can find Johnny Depp. They just put him in there with this beautiful animatronic. And fun fact is every now and then when he's in California in Anaheim, he will put on the costume and hide in the ride.
No.
He will actually hide in the ride.
I'm
not
that.
Sure if it's ever happened in Florida, but in California, he will like call Disney.
Oh,
I'm assuming
love that.
He calls Disney and said, hey, I'm going to be in town. I want to hop in the ride. And
oh,
he,
I
will,
love that.
He will put on
That's
his clothes.
Endearing.
You know, I think we might need to skip our other ones because we're already pretty far into this episode.
No, I'm going to tell you mine real quick.
Okay.
Dishwasher rinse called Finish. It's a dishwasher rinse. You put it in your little compartment to it. It acts as a rinse for your dishes. And if you have problems with your dishwasher making your cups or your glasses spotty or foggy, it will keep them from getting foggy.
I support that.
Called Finish. Put it in your little compartment with your little pod and it works.
Here's mine, my Worcester one. There's rumors going around that we are getting three really important things in Worcester soon.
Say it.
Canes, Raising Canes. A Chick-fil-A and a Texas Roadhouse.
Is this true?
I don't know. You heard it here first, though.
It would be on the north end, wouldn't it?
Yep. You heard it here first.
I'm excited. All right.
All right. Well, today we're talking all about hope. Hope, hope, hope. We have the hope. Here's the thing.
Well, this goes really great, Matt, with spring.
It does. Yes. And honestly, with last week, when we're in a funk, what pulls us through the funk? It's hope.
Hope.
It's hope that things will change.
Hope for a better future.
Yeah.
Hope for longer days with sunshine that brings spring and
That's
green
right.
and growth and sunshine.
That's
sunshine,
right.
Sunshine, sunshine.
How do you feel about the sunshine?
Oh, I feel like I
okay,
need it.
Okay, here's what I need to say about hope. I did a little research on this because I think this is important. I think that hope has a bad rap, and here's why. I think sometimes hope is synonymous with Pollyanna syndrome. Are you familiar with that term?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Like Pollyanna syndrome is like...
Yeah, to be called a Pollyanna
it's not a compliment. It basically what it means is that you are so optimistic that you're naive, that you have no regard for the world around you, that you bury your head in the sand and you just are positive no matter what. But truly, that's not hope. And hope is a little bit different.
Yeah, hope is like being hopeful in spite of... what you know and what you're feeling is real. In spite of that, I'm going to choose to have hope. I feel like that's how I am a lot of the time.
Right.
Like I am very real about what's going on,
right,
but I am choosing hope.
Sure. I also think there's a difference between hoping for something and wishing for something. I feel like hope is a little bit more meaty and meaningful.
Well, hope is more real than a wish.
Totally.
A wish feels like Disney.
Somehow I knew you were gonna say that.
But it does. A wish feels like something that isn't for real.
Yeah.
And where hope feels like that could really happen.
Yeah. Well, there's actually been studies done about hope.
All right. I want to hear it.
And here's the difference maker for hope. Hope, researchers have found, is that hope is usually in something tangible or in something. It's not just like, I hope, like there's usually a reason behind it. And also, wish is, the difference between hope and wish is hoping for something is putting your trust in it.
Yes.
It's also saying, I have the capacity to change, where wish is you are almost passive. Like hope is an active, I am putting my hope in something, or I'm putting like boots to the ground to make a change.
I'm going to say this.
And wish is very passive. It's like, I wish that whatever.
I'm going to be bold in this. I have not done any research on this fact, but this just popped in my mind when you were saying it. I think wish is absent of faith.
Mm.
Hope has faith attached to it. When you hope, you are igniting your faith that this may happen.
Yeah.
You are hopeful that it will happen and you have faith that it can. When you wish, I don't think you have faith attached to it.
Mm.
I think it's just out there in the galaxy, just wishing away with nothing tethering it to the ground.
I see that.
I think faith tethers hope to the ground, like to us, like it helps us get there.
Well, and I think, of course, when I think about hope, the first thing I think about is our faith. And I think of hopefulness, and the source of our hope coming from a faith structure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
However, it doesn't just have to be that. You know, as I was reading about hope also is based in other things too. So, when I think about hope for, let's go back to last week. I was talking about being in a funk. You know, there's part of my hopefulness that that I make it through a funk.
Yes.
It's not just
wishing.
And it's not just connected to my faith, but it's also like, you know, I know that I have three little kids that are watching me. So I hope, my hope is in them that we come on the other side of this because have faith in my family. So it's that. Sometimes it's a collective hope for the betterment of the people around me. Sometimes it is hope in my family. So it's hope that, I don't know if I'm saying this the right way, but you know, I'm going to better myself because it doesn't just affect me, but I'm doing it for other people as well.
Yeah.
But obviously hope, when I think about hope and when you think about hope, the source of our hope is also coming from our faith, but also there is hope. The source of hope can also be bettering our lives. You know, people, you know, those stories of people just changing their life because this is where they were and this is where they want to go, that there's hope that they can pull themselves up by their bootstraps and get the job done. And so I think that's part of it too, is hope isn't only connected to our faith, but it's hope is also connected on making the world better for ourselves, for the people around us.
I don't think we can exercise our faith without hope. I
agree with you.
I actually don't think we can live a life with fullness and joy and fullness and joy and happiness without hope.
Well, how would you
describe? I think hope is a driver. I think hope drives us to all those good things around us.
Well, how would you describe hope for yourself?
Hope is me believing in a better tomorrow with my faith attached to it.
Yeah.
I have to have faith that the hope can happen.
Yeah.
I can't have one without the other. I think hope without faith is a wish. I think we're just wishing. I think faith and hope are synonymous. They have to go hand in hand.
So how would you describe that to someone that would say they don't subscribe to your faith?
I would want them to explain to me what hope looked like for them, what it was tethered to. How is it connected? How do you exercise hope with no faith?
Yeah.
Are you hopeful in your own strength? Are you hopeful that you'll just be able to do it by your own merit?
Right.
Because I can't, that hope, that kind of hope is not.
Feels hopeless for you.
Well, that kind of hope for me has a limit, first of all, because I can only do and be, and I only have so much knowledge.
Yeah.
I can only take myself so far. And if I'm depending on other people, then I'm setting an expectation on them that isn't fair.
Yeah.
So I think instead of me explaining to them how it is for me, I can explain to them how it is for me, but I would want them to explain to me how it is for them with no faith structure and practicing hope, like what hope actually looks like.
Yeah.
Because hope without faith to me is just a wish.
Yeah. That's good. I think for me, hope has to be connected to faith in some regard.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be connected to my belief that things will get better because of Christ.
Well, there's a bigger person.
Yeah.
There's a bigger presence and a bigger person that can take what we're hoping for and not only make it happen, but go according to our faith. Can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine. So I can hope for this one thing and he can say, oh, you were hoping for this, but really what I had planned for you was this.
So if psychologists are saying, according to some of the studies that I read, that hope is active, wishing is passive, besides putting your hope in someone, in God, in Christ, what's the activity that you think we need to have to turn our wishes into hope? So what I'm hearing you say is our wishes are hope when we put it in someone bigger than ourselves. Mm-hmm. But what are the other things that you think we have to do?
Oh my gosh,
to exercise hoping versus wishing?
I think we have to speak it out loud and we have to not just speak it. We have to pray about it is what I believe.
Yeah.
I believe if you ascribe to a faith structure, if you are what we would call a Christian, you believe in prayer, you believe in Jesus, you believe that there's a higher divine power.
Yeah.
You're going to pray.
Yeah.
You're going to say, God, this is my hope. And this is what I'm hoping for. And I am asking you to take this and I'm trusting you with it. And I'm asking you to show me which way to go.
So what happens when it's not answered the way that we want?
Well, I think if we're in the right posture, we're not going to be questioning how it's answered because we're going to be in a good spot and in a good alignment where we understand. I mean, at least that's what's happened in my life when I've prayed for specific things. And it's like, we had to wait. I mean, I was praying for specific things at one point in my life and we had to wait like 2 years and it was an awful, terrible path in that 2 years. It was really hard. I kept seeing the hopeful part up ahead.
Yeah.
And I just kept going.
Yeah.
And I just kept holding on to that I was in the proper space with my relationship with God and that he was with me. He was walking me through it. And he was literally, it was like he was whispering in my ear, I know it's hard, but it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
So what would you say to that person that's out there that's like, I would identify as a Christian. I've been praying for this thing for a long time and my hopes are not being filled, you know, and part of, have you heard the stuff about Kanye recently?
No.
So do you remember about 3 or 4 years ago, Kanye went on this faith journey?
Yes. Yes. I
remember. He was holding church services.
Yes. Yes. He had that incredible church
baptized.
Album. Yes.
Yeah. He had this whole thing. And basically Kanye recently said he's an atheist.
What?
Because there were things that he was praying for that God never answered or answered in the way that he wanted.
I think when we approach faith as God being a genie, I'm going to rub the lamp. I'm going to pray the prayer and he needs to answer it the way I'm praying. Then you aren't putting your faith in a very big God and you're not putting your faith in God in a healthy way.
Yeah.
You're basically trying to manipulate God to do what it is that you want done.
Yeah.
And I would say that if you've been So let's say you've been praying for 5 years for things to change in your marriage, or for healing of your body, or for a change in your job. You've been praying this and you've been diligent. Mm-hmm. I would venture to say that you would tell us, you would sit in the same room and you would tell us, my prayers have not been answered the way I hoped. However, God has taught me so much and given me so many lessons in all of this that it's making sense to me. Mm. I understand it.
Yeah.
If not, then I would encourage you to seek a professional clinical Christian counselor to talk about the emotions and the disgruntled or disappointed feelings that you're having, because they're probably very normal that you don't need to beat yourself up over them.
Right.
But maybe the prayer you're praying, maybe it's time to change that prayer to something different. Maybe change your posture.
Yeah.
Maybe say, I've been praying for my husband for 5 years for our marriage to get better. It's horrible. It's just as bad as it was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He won't go to counseling. He won't change it. Well, maybe it's time for a shift of something different, a change. And the best way to navigate that, Matt, and we say it all the time in this podcast, counseling.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your friends are not professional counselors.
Right.
Yes, you can vent to your friends. You can talk to your friends about things. You can process with your friends, but your friends could give you very bad advice out of love.
Sure.
So it's just important, I think, to go to the right people and to go to counseling.
So what do you think it means for hope to become a habit in our lives? What does it look like to be a hopeful person? Because, you know, there are people that when I say a hopeful person, there are people that probably come to mind, and there are probably people that are the opposite of a hopeful person. But what does it mean for you to have hope as a habit in our life?
Well, I think you have to keep identifying that you're putting your hope in something supernatural. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you walk in faith, I'm putting my hope not in myself.
Right.
I'm not putting my hope in Daryl and Daryl's strength.
Or
not
the doctors.
My hope. I mean, I am putting my hope and my trust in the person of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I am saying, this is what I'm hoping for.
Right.
If this isn't what you have for me, my girlfriend, Linda, one of my Virginia childhood girlfriends, she prays a prayer that I love. She says, God, this is what I'm asking. I'm asking you to either do this or something that you have planned that's better.
Ooh, that's good.
Because he can always make it much better than we can make it.
I think for me too, it is... It's not, I don't feel like I can be a hopeful person on my own.
No.
I don't think hope lives in a vacuum.
Yeah.
You know, I think hope lives in community. Mm-hmm. I think hope is living and breathing. And I need to be around hopeful people. You know, I could think of people that are not hopeful people that when I'm around them, I feel like, oh my word, is everything coming down? Like, is everything happening at once?
Yeah.
But then I can think of people where I leave an interaction with them, or I bring something to them that I ask them to speak into. And I'm like, man, I got a shot in the arm.
Well,
and I'm ready to go.
Let me just say real quick to that, and then I know we're going to wrap soon, but if you apply that to who you're following online, if you are constantly watching a news channel that is literally igniting fear in you, igniting warning, fear, end of the world, you possibly need to change the channel sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you follow people on Instagram or on Facebook that are constantly berating or constantly peddling news or content that is making you feel angsty and hopeless inside.
Right.
Start. Maybe it's time either unfollow or follow some different voices or some new people.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think hope can live in a vacuum because I think for me, when I start feeling hopeless, I often can't, I mean, it's kind of goes back to what we talked about last week, but breaking out of the hopeless funk, I need people sometimes to speak into it and say, hey, think about it from this perspective.
Or
what if this? Or have you ever thought about the lesson here? Or have you ever thought about how this could impact that? And I think hopefulness is a habit that we have to practice. Right, it's almost like being positive. It's, you know, being positive isn't just like, again, it's not Pollyanna. It's making a purposeful choice to say, I'm going to be hope-filled in this situation. But it's also surrounding yourselves with people that are going to not necessarily say the same thing as you. You know, we're not creating an echo chamber. However, we are saying, I want people that are going to point me in a right direction, full of hope.
Right. Right. I also think when you say, like, what about the person who is like, I don't really believe in God. I don't really have spiritual practices, but you feel hopeless. Mm. I would encourage you to start praying to a presence that is bigger than you.
Yeah. Just start
it doesn't
there.
Have to look like a certain language for you. It can just be like, hey, I'm not sure you're there. I'm not sure this is real, but I want to give it a try because I feel hopeless and I need hope in my life. Right. So I am asking you, supernatural higher power, to come into my life and to help me.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything we know about faith is that God will answer that.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good word. Hey,
let's talk about food. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Okay. I would like to talk about the noodles from Walnut Creek Cheese and Market.
Send nudes.
Oh, that's terrible. That sounded terrible. Yeah, those kind. Noodles at Walnut Creek Cheese. Let's talk about the pastas. There's lots of different pasta shapes there.
You like the big elbows. You're a big elbow girl.
Yes, I like the big elbows for mac and cheese.
If anyone could say anything about you, it's that you like a big elbow.
I will brag on the big elbows. Mm. And then also, I'm going to say the Amish style noodles.
Yeah, the egg noodles.
The egg noodles. Mm-hmm. I love those.
Well, you know, my mom makes, we just talked about it last week, those sour cream noodles. Oh. Those are made with those wide egg noodles and some sour cream and garlic.
And butter. She put a stick and a half of butter and two bags of those noodles. But it was a lot of noodles, to be fair. It was a lot of noodles.
Yeah, but we don't measure butter.
No, we don't. No. Salt, a little bit of pepper. We love that meal so much. That's a meal your mom makes that I dream about.
And you know, I think when you're
bread and pork, sour cream noodles.
If you ever end up like destitute, that I'll bring that to you. You don't even have to ask.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, I know. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, we love Walnut Creek Cheese and Market and Walnut Creek Foods right here in Ohio's Amish country. If you are not from around here, you can go to Walnut Creek
foods.com.
And there's a locator page. That's right. You can put your zip code in and you can see what grocery store or what grocer in your community or your area carries Walnut Creek cheese products. They are the creme de la creme.
I agree.
Top of the line.
They're the best. Simply the best. Bow, bow. Hey, well, thank you so much for joining us in this conversation all about hope. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.